had the opportunity about a year ago and a grace to go and spend about 9 days over in Calcutta, India. I spent it with the sisters, invited to teach them for a week, prayer and discernment. Why I was there, I have no idea. That's how God works once in a while. And I stayed with them at one of their houses. They have many houses over there, as many of you are probably aware. And it was one of their houses for the mentally infirm. And so they had about 400 patients that they had at this in this complex. And all these patients every day got 3 meals, and everybody got a bath, and everybody got clean sheets and clean clothes. They have no washing machines over there. So it's all done by hand by the sisters. And I remember as I was celebrating Mass for all of them, they would invite the patients to come. And there was this beautiful petition that the sisters had every single day that I've carried with me ever since. And that is this cacophony of noise and kind of something that goes against my German background of this is the proper way the liturgy ought to be. The sister said, "We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the poor amongst us, for they honor us with their presence. We give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of the poor amongst us, for they honor us with their presence." How radically different that was from my typical response to the poor, I'm ashamed to say, is that sometimes I view the poor as an issue to be solved instead of individuals to be loved. While I was celebrating those Masses over there, I also had these 5 young little grade school age boys that just somehow always showed up every day. And they were the loudest little respondents to every part of the Mass. And they even told them at the time, I'm like, I can hear you, I'm standing right here. And they showed up every morning and they had on khaki slacks and they had a very nicely pressed dress shirt they wore every day. And they didn't seem to belong. And so it was finally about 5 days in that I asked one of the sisters and I said, "Who are these little boys that just, you know, magically appear at Mass and then disappear afterwards or whatnot?" She said, "Oh, Father, their AIDS showed them that they were abandoned by their families, and this is their home." And what dawned on me again, even in the midst of that experience, was that when we think about the poor, and this gets to the Lord's parable about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus, then I think one of the greatest injustices that takes place isn't even necessarily the economic injustice that we can encounter, but it's the loss of dignity. It's the loss of identity that can sometimes accompany it within my heart. That's why I try to make it a point now, and I'm ashamed to say that even as a priest, I have those awkward moments where, you know, you pull up to a street corner and you see somebody standing there with a sign and they're begging, and I'm like, oh boy, okay, here we go. So I'm a priest, I ought to be Jesus-like, and I have to try to deal with this, but is the light going to turn before they get to my car? Is it not going to turn? Maybe I should act like I'm fiddling with the radio or something, you know? And instead of actually just looking at that individual in the eye and acknowledging them, really acknowledging them, learning their name, telling them that I will pray for them, to enter into relationship with them, as our Lord made himself poor on our behalf so that he could enter into relationship with us. And so it becomes this great evangelical challenge, I think, of us being able to enter into relationship. Then even with the college seminarians, you know, we have Tuesday are apostolics, and so they spend time with the missionaries of charity, or others go to the soup kitchen every Tuesday. And to enter into relationship, to again realize that the poor aren't just a problem, they're people, and that we need to be able to love them and to give them the dignity that they deserve. Now, I have to admit that when I was praying about what I was going to share with all of you sisters sitting here, I'm like, this is perfect. Like, I have a gospel about giving up wealth, and I have to preach to a bunch of sisters. Like when I was over in Calcutta, I had the gospel, take no walking stick or money bag. I'm like, woe to you, missionaries of charity. I think that one of the challenges that maybe comes, so I want to challenge you and then also encourage you as sisters, is basically that we all have different Lazaruses of our lives. That sometimes it's physical poverty that brings somebody to our doorsteps. Through your various charisms, you encounter poor of all sorts. But even, I would dare say, within your communities, there's Lazarus. When your sister is spiritually poor, when there is a desolation that is occurring within her, that is attacking her identity, how do I love her? How do I give her dignity? How do I reach out to her? For all those that are in your families, there's Lazarus in your home. That we don't have to go searching far and wide for the poor because they are around us always. Jesus tells us you will have the poor with you always. And so that we can have hearts that are open to discernment to be able to acknowledge and to encounter both the physical and sometimes the spiritual poverty that exists right at our doorstep. And not to just maybe kind of splash around in my own consolations while ignoring the desolation of the sister that's right before me. But to love and to share. Sometimes when you have people that are so desperate, they said, if I could just have a scrap of what you have. Now you're encouraged. By your very vocations and consecration, you are an act of the Holy Spirit that restores justice to our society and to our world. One of my favorite lines from Vita Consecrata, and I may have altered my own brain at this point, it's something along the lines of this, that the consecrated life is a tangible seal impressed upon human history by the Trinity to inspire love and divine things. Consecrated life is a tangible seal impressed upon human history by the Trinity to inspire love and divine things in the human heart. For every action, there's a greater or an equal or greater reaction. That's physics for you. And so as we encounter injustice in the world, the Holy Spirit counters that we always push back against what is not of God, and you are part of that pushback. That you restore beauty, authentic beauty, justice, dignity, and honor to the world. And to pray, and I pray for you today for the deepening of your consecration, as that you have made yourself intentionally poor for love of Jesus Christ. But then through that self-abasement and through that gift of self, then he will continue to use you as instruments to inspire a love of divine things within the human heart of all those who encounter. I can tell you as a priest, whenever I see any one of you, you always make me want to be a better priest. You always want to help me or encourage me or even to inspire me to try to live into the dignity of who I am just by your very being. So never doubt that. Give in to the desolation or the voice of the tempter that says, well, maybe these sisters, but not you. You're too broken. You doubt. You interiorly complain. The Lord wouldn't be pleased with you. Silence that voice. It's not the voice of the beloved who draws you closer to himself. And the closer that you are drawn to the Lord, the more radiant you can become, the holier you make the church. So again, my prayer for all of us today is just that we can be aware of the poverty that surrounds us, the spiritual poverty within our own hearts, the physical poverty of our society, the spiritual poverty of those that are near to us. Let us pray that we can respond with love, that we can make sure that all those we encounter have the dignity of the children of Christ given to them. And we pray that, sisters, you can continue through your consecration to inspire lovely divine things.